And it's a wonderfully liberating moment when this happens. It's a wonderfully liberating moment when you realise, hang on a minute, I am the key to all this. You know, just a line came into my mind which might not be relevant. The thing I hum seems to be the key to this celestial pantomime. That's what I was going to say. It's a line by a poet named Wallace Stevens. Yeah, the thing I hum seems to be the key to this celestial pantomime. In other words, what we do with our mind is the key. What we do with the mind is the key. And there's a wonderful moment of liberation when you wake up to that. When you have that experience. And probably we've all had that experience to one degree or another in our lives. Perhaps, you know, when we start to come out of childhood or something like that and start realising that we're sort of different from our parents or something like that. Maybe it happened in childhood. That we are our own person. We can do anything. We can do anything. And there's just this great opening. It's fantastic. And then it kind of can close down again, can't it? And you know, we sort of feel we can't do anything. But try to remember those times, those moments, when we realise that our mind, ourselves, are the actual key to what is happening, to what we do with our lives. You know, that wonderful moment when you realise that your mind is the key to the mystery of existence, the mystery of life. It's an incredible moment of liberation. So important to remember that and to recall that. It's so easy for it to get covered over. In a way, you could say all Buddhist practice is about reminding you of those moments, so that you don't forget them, so that you live by those moments. I can remember for myself the thrill on reading my first Buddhist book. I was about 16, 17, something like that, and I read a book called Foundations of Tibetan Mysticism by Lama Anagarika Govinda, a German writer who very versed in Buddhism generally, and particularly Tibetan Buddhism. I mean, I really didn't understand a word of it. I mean, you can't, 16 years old reading a book like that, I mean, with nothing between the ears kind of thing. Outrageous. But the tremendous thrill of reading about the Buddhist vision, this incredible vision of consciousness. What Govinda does in that book, he sort of charts the range of consciousness that is open to somebody who practices Buddhism, who practices Dharma. This vast notion of mind, of consciousness, of heart, spanning the whole of reality, the whole of existence and beyond, and pointing out that that is all accessible. That is all accessible to every single human being. That is accessible. That is all possibility. That is all potential. And no ceiling to it. No end point. No creator God. No closure. It just goes on and on and on. Fantastically thrilling moment to read that and to feel that this is possible. This is possible. A real liberation. A real sense of adventure opening up in that. The Buddhist path, the Buddhist notion of mind, the Buddhist notion of waking up to the centrality of mind isn't a sort of brand of humanism. It's not that the Buddhist notion of mind is really very, it is vast, it's endless. And the Buddhist path is one of continuous expansion and unfolding of consciousness. There are just liberations beyond liberations beyond liberations. No limit to it. And the other thrilling thing that Govinda opened up was that this is, you know, it's not just presenting this wonderful vision and then you just sort of speculate about it. You can actually do something to access it, particularly through the practice of meditation. All Buddhist training, ethical training, you know, whatever it may be. But meditation being really central, because meditation works directly on the mind. In meditation, it's the mind with the mind. It's the mind transforming itself. It's the mind directing itself towards these states of consciousness, towards enlightenment itself. So recall those thrilling moments where you realise that it's really down to you. I mean, it also can be very, very sobering as well, can't it, when you have that realisation, you know, your mum's not going to do it for you, your dad's not going to do it for you, you know, your wife's not going to do it for you, you know, the school teachers aren't going to do it for you, society's not going to do it for you, there's no God there to do it for you, there's no saviour to do it for you. That's also a rather terrifying moment as well. So as well as with the liberation, there is also this sense of individual responsibility that goes with that. So the Dhammapada opens with these kind of great hammer blows, I sometimes think of them as being, concerning the centrality of mind. They're describing this essential revolution, this revolution in consciousness when we wake up to the centrality of mind. This is where the Buddhist path begins. And like I say, it's something we should continually remind ourselves of. Sometimes even when you've been practicing Buddhism, you know, perhaps you've been practicing Buddhism for a while and, you know, you've got involved with a spiritual community, you've got involved with other Buddhists, and, you know, and that's a very good thing, that's a very supportive thing, it's very important to have spiritual friends and all the rest of it. But sometimes, in the midst of that, we can forget, actually, it's down to me. I live this life. I live this Buddhist path. It's my mind that is the key. It's my mind that makes the difference.